Thank you, ministry leaders. And I'd ask everyone to keep their presentations to about 5 minutes because we're going to talk about some other more important stuff. But you'll be hearing more about our ministries at our fall meeting. We'll give the ministry leaders a lot more time. So if you have any questions, though, please contact these ministry leaders. If you'd like to be a part of their ministry, perhaps, contact them and see how you can help out. Well, what I would like to talk about for a few minutes, and then Pastor Andy's going to do the state of the church and talk some more about this, and that's the church expansion update. You'll remember from the fall meeting that I outlined what had been going on, which was we'd hired an architectural firm to look at some possibilities for Sugar Land Bible Church. How could we expand? We wanted to plan it so that anything we do, it doesn't conflict with that, without knowing it. So that was the overall plan. And MHP presented their final master plan to us March 29th. And we're going to look at that here briefly in a minute. The results of the master plan was that the work has been divided into three phases, basically. Additional parking with stormwater retention. A new sanctuary with a new kitchen, entryway, and restrooms. And third, a children's wing with offices and youth area renovations. That would be basically renovating both the current classroom wing and building a new one. So I want to look at those here briefly and give you a little bit of time for Q&A at the end. So we'll look at some floor plans and 3D diagrams. Here is the, this is the current building, of course, that's in yellow. Here we are right in here. That's the classrooms. So back to where we were. New parking area would be to the north, and it would consist of about 113 parking spaces. We have about 128 now, so almost double our parking. This new sanctuary would be on this side, and associated with that would be a new kitchen and more restrooms. And the last phase would be a classroom wing here, renovating this, and then a classroom wing here, a two-story building, I might add, that would have unused space on the second floor, at least for the time being. In fact, here is the second floor, what it would look like. We would renovate the existing upstairs for Totally Youth program. The new wing would have about half finished, and it would facilitate the older, younger kids, in other words, fourth through sixth, I believe. And there, by the way, there would be an elevator for this second floor as well as for the existing building. And these are just the floor plans, basically. The new sanctuary would be about 15,630 square feet, compared to quite a bit larger than this. We would have 600 seat capacity in the new one, but expandable in this area to about 750 if we needed it, because we built a couple classrooms here that we could tear out. Our current space is just less than 16,000 square feet, so we're almost doubling with that. The children's wing then would actually be slightly larger, a total of 16,425 square feet. So that's basically what we're looking at there. This is a 3D drawing of the church from the south here, from the current side. You can see the new sanctuary over here and the new children's wing here and a courtyard here with a playground here, parking out here, of course. So these are just, again, conceptual, but at least what we have in mind. Here is a view from the south. From the north, this side over here. So this would be pretty much a view of the new spaces, the new parking lot, new auditorium. There'd be a covered basketball court or whatever, an activity area, covered playground, and just a general courtyard there with some outside seating. Of course, this is all conceptual. Nothing's in stone yet, but this is where we're heading, or we think we are anyway. We're hoping to. Here's a ground view from Matledge Way over here as to what the new building might look like. And here is a straight on from the south there, looking at the end of the courtyard. So that's basically gives you an idea of what we have going. Now, out in the foyer, we've got three or four of these diagrams as posters. So as you leave, you can look at them, get a little bit better idea as far as what's going on. And if you say, well, we don't have this, don't worry about it yet. This is pretty preliminary. So we can finalize these things when we come down. Now, this is perhaps the most important part. What's it going to cost? And if you're like me, you say, that much, because it would be pretty pricey, it looks like. The additional parking, 113 spaces, with stormwater retention, which about almost doubles the cost, because we have to, with the codes, we have to have stormwater retention for any of the rainfall that hits any of our property, and this would be mostly under the parking lot. So that's why it's fairly expensive, $900,000. The sanctuary with a new kitchen, entryway, and renovated additional restrooms, about $6.9 million. And the children's wing, which would be two-story, with office and youth areas, renovations would be about another $6.9 million. So as you can see, it's not cheap. But this is where the Lord comes in, obviously, because we can't do it ourselves. So the next thing we plan to do, the next step, is we're going to talk to some funding consultants. Several of us elders are going to have a conference Zoom online meeting with them on Tuesday, just to see what they have as far as ideas. Initial conversations with them, you know, they say, you know, it's not out of reach by any means, but again, the Lord needs to provide. We ourselves are pretty limited, as you see. I mean, we're in great financial shape. We do not want to go into debt. But we'll see how the Lord provides for this, because if he wants it, he will provide, as we often say. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Andy, and he can do the state of the church and tell us a little bit more about his ideas or his philosophy.
All right. Well, I wanted to use my time. I got to raise this. All these short people, I don't know. Just to talk a little bit about the building project. I think what, and Ed sort of presented the what, and I'm sort of presenting the why. The why relates to vision. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 18 in the King James Version, says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So one of the jobs of leadership is to sort of provide a vision of where the church is headed. And ever since COVID and different things, we've watched the growth of this church, both in-house, and it's grown exponentially online. And so the vision is that any person, anywhere, that wants to hear truth can come and hear it without any obstruction whatsoever. So we shouldn't have a scenario where people drive here and they get discouraged and leave because they can't find a parking space, or they come into the sanctuary and they can't find a place to sit. We want to remove that barrier. And the reason we want to remove that barrier is the gospel is offensive enough on its own without us adding to offenses. Paul, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 17, talks about this stumbling block of the cross. I mean, there's enough in our message to be offensive, you know, without people wanting to come but can't because of spatial limitations. And so that's sort of the reason why we're looking into this. We want any hungry person to come and receive from the things of God. If, as you notice, the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, he put no impediment on people to come and hear. There was an impediment related to what he was saying, because a lot of the things that he was saying was injurious to the pride of people. But anybody that wanted to come, anybody that wanted to listen, anybody that wanted to hear, there was an obvious opening in his ministry for that. And that's the reason why we're even thinking about facility expansion. We're not in the facility expansion business just to have a bigger building, but there's an actual reason why, and that's what I'm trying to articulate here. Now, let me also really address the dangers of debt. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 7, says the borrower becomes the lender's slave. So, according to my old math, it looked like, because I was listening to the reports, we had about almost $2 million. I think Ed articulated a project that's what was about $15 million total. So that leaves us, according to my old math, a gap of $13 million. And let me sort of explain to you how we're not going to handle things. Okay. We are not going to go take out a massive mortgage. That's just something that we're not interested in doing. The reason we're not interested in doing that is because of what Proverbs says. Once a church does that, and there are many that do, the church becomes the servant of the lender rather than the servant of the Lord. My wife and I met in a church that went that direction. It started off as a very good Bible teaching church, and then they got into this, we want to get bigger just for the sake of getting bigger mindset. They bought a beautiful piece of property, a wonderful location, and they put themselves under a massive mortgage to do it. And as God is my witness, the moment they did that is the moment the whole direction of the church changed. You stopped hearing about sin, hell, judgment, repentance, angels, demons, Satan. The whole purpose then became to accommodate all of these unsaved people, begging them and pleading them to come to church because we have to have the money to pay down the mortgage. And so I have personal experience in churches that put themselves under heavy debt. And that's not a direction that we want to move in. Here is the financial direction that we want to move in. It's found in a little phrase. I learned it from Pastor Chuck Smith, who started the Calvary Chapel movement. He had a little phrase that he always used. He said, where God guides, God provides. You guys want to say that with me? Here we go. Where God... Oh, you guys are so good. You started before me. Let's do it from the top. Ready? Where God guides, God provides. It's very easy, right? Can we do that one more time? Where God guides, God provides. So God is not broke. God is not down to his last nickel. You say, well, does the Bible teach this? Yeah, it teaches it everywhere, actually. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You guys just want to keep doing that verbal response. So if something is of God, then finances is not a problem. It looks big from our angle, but to me, $13 million is a lot of money, or $15 million. A million here, a million there, pretty soon you're talking about real money, right? I mean, it looks really big from the human perspective, but as far as God is concerned, it's no problemo. So we are not going to pursue any kind of expansion unless we have the funding in advance to do it. There's an interesting story. It's in a historical account that takes place in the book of Exodus. It concerns the building of the tabernacle. And obviously, to build the tabernacle, they needed to raise resources to do it. And this is what the book of Exodus says in chapter 36, verses 5 through 7, concerning that. It says, they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction of the work which the Lord has commanded us to perform. So we have a problem here, Moses. We have too much money coming in, is what they're talking about. So Moses issued a command and circulated a proclamation throughout the camp saying, no man or woman is to perform work any longer for the contributions of the sanctuary. And here's the part I want you to hear. It's in Exodus 36:6. So the people were, it's amazing, were restrained from bringing more. For the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. So people were wanting to give more and more and more, and Moses actually had to issue an edict saying, don't give anymore. I can't remember the last time I saw a television evangelist do that, by the way. Quit sending in money. We got too much. So it fits this theme of where God guides, God provides. God provided for the nation of Israel for 40 years. Once they left Egypt, failed to enter at the Kadesh Barnea incident, and they were just out there 40 years until God raised up Joshua and the second generation finally entered Canaan. And every single day, with the exception of the Sabbath, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, manna was available for the people. It was even available when they were doing despicable things against God, like building a golden calf and things of that nature. So when you study that Exodus account, you again see the principle where God guides, God provides. So as elders, you know, we see the need. We see the potential direction of our church. But this is not some kind of Mount Sinai revelation. We don't know 100% that this is the will of God. We will know 100% if it's the will of God, if the provision is there. If the provision is not there, we're not going to get ahead of the Lord's leading and put ourselves into some sort of financial bondage, which makes the church the servant of the lender rather than the servant of the Lord. I can't tell you how many ministries and churches I know of that get outside of the leading of God. And you can tell they're outside the leading of God because they put themselves in sort of a financial situation that they shouldn't have put themselves in. If the biblical principle is true, where God guides, God provides. And suddenly money becomes the focus. Suddenly, elders and deacons and staff members and pastors, they start calling your house and saying, you know, we start functioning like bill collectors. Hey, you said you'd make a pledge, you know, start harassing people for money. Sugarland Bible Church has absolutely no ambition or desire to go that direction. As you know, money is not an issue that we raise here over and over again and make people aware of. We don't even pass an offering plate here at Sugarland Bible Church, which I think is a wonderful policy that was started by the those that founded this church. And yet, look at how the Lord keeps providing for us. You heard the report. Above and beyond what we need. Because where God guides, God provides. I mean, all you have to do is stay within the leading of God. And if you stay within the leading of God, then money doesn't become an object, you see. So that's sort of what we're doing here with this building project. It's sort of like, laying out the fleece. Remember Gideon, I think it was, that did that. It's sort of a test. We think, because the last time I checked, I haven't heard any audible voices from the Lord. Maybe you've heard some and can tell me about it sometime. I've never heard any. So how do you know if you're in God's will? You know you're within God's will because God doesn't operate differently than His Word. And in His Word, it's very clear from Genesis to Revelation where God guides, God provides. So we're putting this out there. We're seeing the reaction of people. We're trying to ascertain, has God put this on the hearts of people? Because I can guarantee you, if God's in it, He's already moving in people's hearts to be generous. And if not, then we just say, you know what? Maybe this is God's will, but maybe right now is not the time to pursue this. So I just bring that to your attention because when you look at the finances, I know there's a lot of fear that we're, going to lose our character and our soul as a church by putting ourselves under financial bondage. And I can just guarantee you from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that your elder board has no ambition to do that. We do see the need. We do see a vision. We've tried to act in accordance with it. But now we're in this process of sort of waiting upon the Lord. Ed also mentioned the possibility of talking about financial consultants. All of the elders unanimously agree on this, that if a financial consultant or expert has some sort of philosophy of raising money that's outside of what I've tried to articulate, where God guides, God provides, we are not going to join ourselves to their consulting and fundraising methodology. We have absolutely no desire to become unequally yoked with people where we are espousing one kind of ministry philosophy and somebody else through sort of humanistic means is espousing another philosophy of raising money. So with all of that being said, we've covered the vision, the dangers of the church, the divine principle of where God guides, God provides. And then I just sort of wanted to leave you with that last point of this sort of being a fleece or a test. And so with all of that being said, I would just ask you to, in your personal life, take this matter to the Lord. Be in prayer with us as we are praying, is this really your will, Lord? Because if it is God's will, God will make that very clear. The Bible says through 2 to 3 witnesses, let a matter be confirmed. So you can see a need, that's witness A. But if you don't have the finances to pull it off, you don't have the second or the third witness. And so we're waiting on the Lord, which is a good place to be in, having no ambition to go into financial bondage, seeing if this is really of Him. And so this is not something we're going to jam down everybody's throat. We're sort of in the waiting game now, and we would simply ask that you lift this matter up before the Lord in your personal prayer life. So hopefully that answers a little bit more about the why question, as you've already had the what question answered today.